Nick Lawrence from Mid-Major Madness back here with another conference preview. We're talking to Coach Kevin McGeehan from Campbell. How are you doing, Coach?
I'm doing great, Nick. How are you?
Doing pretty well. So last season, I mean, you guys had a pretty strong season, but you had a ton of close losses. They were not in the last one, two possessions. Just talk about how you can build off of that heading into this next season and close out those games.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a test of really good teams or ones that figure out how to win those. And, you know, the previous season, we won a lot of those. And so every team's a little bit different. And, you know, some of it probably technical. Some of it's stuff that we can improve from the coaching side. Some of it's just attention to detail from the player side. And then some of it's just a mix of guys that you have in any given year and how things fall. So obviously that's something that every team is working to improve is, you know, being at their best in the last 5 minutes to close out games. Like, you know, Longwood was really good in those situations last year. Previous year, we were really good in those situations. We got a whole different mix of guys this season. And, you know, we obviously have a lot to learn, about our personnel and how it's all going to fit together. But, that definitely will be a point of emphasis for this year is just, you know, being a little bit more effective in late game situations.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of touched upon it earlier. I mean, you have Jesus and you have Ricky Clements returning, but you lose Cedric Henderson, who's been a key cog of the program over the last couple of years. Just talk about how important it is that those two guys are returning. And do you see anyone who's going to step into a Chris Clemens or Cedric Henderson kind of role?
Well, first of all, those guys are really important. And I think, Jesus kind of, I don't think either of them get nearly enough credit for how good of players they are. And maybe that's because of having somebody like, you know, Jordan or Cedric who, you've been in the program for a long time and were, you know, just really highly regarded, but also veteran type players. Jesus is one of the best passing big men in the country. But I don't think he gets enough credit for, you know, his ability to score on the interior and his versatility defensively. He's pretty dynamic in a lot of ways. And, you know, Ricky's one of the best perimeter defenders in this league. For the last 2 years, he's been one of the guys who gets fouled the most in the country. I mean, he's really, really tough to keep in front. He scores really well at the rim. And he creates shots for other guys. He doesn't shoot a ton of threes. He can make one here and there. But he really, really helps the team. And one guy that's not really, I think probably has fallen off a lot of folks in the Big South's radar that had a great sophomore year and was banged up all last year was Josh Hussein. Mm-hmm. He was really, really good player for us as a sophomore as we went on a, you know, 9-game winning streak to close the season and ran it all the way to the conference championship where we obviously lost to Winthrop. But he was a huge part of why we were so successful that year. Really an excellent passer. I would say he and Josh are, or I'm sorry, he and Jesus are both excellent, excellent passers. Josh's are a little more like kind of ones that show up within what we're trying to do conceptually, where Jesus is more of a creator of the assists, but both are very valuable to have. I think probably, but just based on how the season went last year, you know, he was hurt for like 15 games, and then when he came back, he just never quite got his rhythm in the season. I think people have just sort of forgotten about him. He's a really, really good player. He's healthy, and I think he's going to be a huge part of our success this year. And we brought in a whole bunch of new guys that I think are really, really going to help us. 3 or 4 transfers, that are, you know, coming from other institutions, and a couple freshmen that I think have a chance to be really good. So, you know, I think we're majorly under the radar right now, and I'm fine with that, because I think we're going to surprise a lot of people this year.
Yeah, I mean, you play an interesting style of basketball, like you said. It's a lot around the big man, and you got all that movement and passing. So it's one of the slower styles in basketball, but, I mean, your teams are always great shooting. You're a disciple of many Pete Carril disciples. I mean, just talk about his impact, and it looks like that style's only seemed to grow more and more every year.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Carril obviously was way ahead of his time with regard to just a team concept of playing basketball. I think the game has evolved quite a bit. I think each of us have taken it in different directions based on, you know, how it fits our personnel and stuff like that. I mean, we're definitely have a lot more ball screens. Coach Carril's teams never had, you know, really didn't have ball screens in the offense. And, but I think the idea of spacing and passing and, willingness to share the ball and allowing your movement, screening and cutting actions to create opportunities was a great foundation, and all of us have built off that. We're all fortunate to have learned so much from him. I mean, just an incredible loss for all of us. Tremendous guy. I didn't have nearly as close a relationship just because I didn't play for him, but I had a chance to spend time with him quite a bit through Coach Mooney. Took us out to dinner at Final Fours and things like that. And went and saw Princeton practice a couple years back when they were going on one of the farm tours, right, 3 or 4 years ago. And sat with them for, 2.5 hours and just talked basketball. I mean, incredibly giving person as far as his, like knowledge and wisdom of the game. So obviously that's a huge loss for everybody that had a chance to really get to know him. And I think he was never concerned about perceptions. It's way more of a big deal now because people try to recruit against you and stuff like that. Like, we don't really play slow. It's like everybody just assumes Princeton equals slow. It's really like we've been one of the better teams in transition over the last 5 or 6 years. We value passing the ball. If that equals longer possessions, then okay. But it's not really a slow. It's not slow and it's not boring. It's actually really good basketball. So it's like sometimes you feel like you have to educate people as to, what they're actually seeing. Coaches know, coaches know, and coaches, don't really want to play against it. But it's not because it's the old days of like no shot clock and hold the ball under your armpit and try to milk a clock. It's not that at all. So, but I think it's been a great thing for the game. I mean, the triangle offense that Phil Jackson and Tex Winters was running was founded in these same principles. Like, if you watch European basketball, jump on FIBA, like, everybody's doing the same kind of, concepts. So there's a lot of good in it. But it takes a certain kind of guy. It takes certain kind of players. I mean, we value things that others maybe don't, right? We're valuing skill level at all positions and interchangeability and ability to see the court well and be willing to pass. We track passes in our program. Everybody tracks assists, right? That's a stat that's on your box score, but we track passes. I think the Warriors and the Spurs a few years back were kind of started the trend, and they try to get 300 passes in a game. We do the same. 300 passes is our goal. And we had probably, I'd say, 70% of our games where we were over 300. We fare a lot better. Usually we play a good offensive game in the games where the ball's moving like that. necessarily mean that it's, you know, you can still miss shots, all that kind of stuff, but you're probably playing together in those kind of games. You know, they won 300 passes and they play 48 minutes. We only play 40. So the ball definitely moving is important to us.
Yeah, and I mean, continuing with that passing size, I was looking at the verbal commits page. There's this walk-on you guys have, 7-foot Wesley Johnson. Just tell me about him. Is he going to be a big part of the program? Because, I mean, there's not that many big men like that, 7-footers in the Big South.
Yeah, no, he's huge. He's the biggest guy. the biggest guy I've been around, honestly. He's really, really big. And he's actually doing very well. I've been impressed with his ability. You know, when we were doing workouts in the summer, Jesus had like a tweak to his hamstring. So he was out for like a good month of the summer or wasn't able to play live. So like Wes got all the reps kind of as the backup. And he picked things up very, very well. You know, like any freshman, and you can imagine with 1 to 7 foot and not nearly as strong as he's going to be when his career's over. You know, the pace of college basketball is still coming at him a little bit fast. You know, so that's going to take time. That takes time for all freshmen, but especially somebody that's that big and being asked to do things he probably never has done before, you know, with passing the ball and, you know, shooting outside shots and being a playmaker. So there's definitely a learning curve, but I've been impressed with his, what I've seen so far, and I'm hoping that he continues to work and get better. He's an awesome kid, really smart, and seems to want to be good. So that's a big thing.
Love that. And then, I mean, not many people know about the history at Campbell. There's a lot of history there. I mean, you guys had the first college camp, John Wooden passed through there, Pete Maravich, Michael Jordan. Just talk about what that means, the program, and how you use that to your advantage.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, you know, when I first got the job, now, 10 years ago or whatever, like everybody that I would see, you know, whether it be in airport and Charlotte or, you know, wherever, you know, run into at the grocery store, gas station, everybody was, oh, I went to the camp, or my uncle was a counselor at the camp, or, you know, they had some connection. And obviously now things have changed so much with just summer basketball in general, right? AAU has sort of become the way that kids improve in the summer or get exposure, however you want to look at it. But the days of the, you know, overnight camp have changed a little bit because of that, right? And there were over 1,000 kids per week back when this thing was rolling in its day. They would bus out to all the local high schools, like little mini satellite camps, and it just kind of started at Campbell and then stretched out and came back at the end of the day. You know, we've obviously COVID affected the last couple of years, but we still have the overnight camp, which is cool. And, you know, we were ecstatic to get our numbers up in the, you know, between 150 and 200 this year. So we did keep trying to grow it back, but the things have changed a bit. But yeah, the tradition of everything that went into that, you know, Michael Jordan, and you know, Michael Jordan's roommate when he was at camp was Fred Wigfield, who was a player here, who's now the, you know, CEO of the Hornets, and he's, you know, very, very involved in Campbell still on the board and everything. So yeah, there's a lot of connections in through Campbell that kind of ran through the old basketball school.
Yeah, and then in the non-conference, you guys have a very North Carolina heavy schedule. That's usually out because you guys go to NC State, you play App State, ECU, UNCW. Just talk about how it's going to get you ready for the Big South.
Yeah, you know, I think every year you're trying to challenge yourself as much as you can, trying to balance that with enough home games to give your fans a chance to connect to the team and give yourself, you know, obviously you have a better chance to win on home games than you do on the road. But yeah, we were fortunate. This schedule is kind of still not quite complete, but close. And, you know, had a couple games that, or at least one that rolled over that was canceled because of COVID. And, but I'm really excited about. We kind of try to start locally and say, who can we play that's within, you know, a bus ride, you know, in the state, just because I think that's a great starting point. Our fans will connect to going to PNC and watching us against NC State. And, you know, maybe some folks can come out to that tournament with that. And, obviously, an opportunity to play at East Carolina is great. We always want to try to start local and get as many local games as we can. Obviously, Wilmington is one that we play every single year, which now will become a league game as we transition into the CAA going forward. So hopefully that's a – I think it's the longest standing rivalry. I don't know. I can't remember. It's a very long history of rivalry between those two schools. So.
Yeah, and I mean, just talk about the rest of the Big South this year, and what are you looking forward with the future in the CAA?
Well, yeah, first things first, Big South. I mean, you know, I think anybody that's like, I was kind of wishing that I could have gotten on this morning because I think, or heard all of it, because I think that there's so, it's so up in the air. Mm-hmm. I mean, being a forecaster or a doing what you do, it's got to be hard right now.
Yeah.
So many teams are so different. Like, I talked about three or four of our players. Well, there are three or four players that I didn't talk about that might be our best guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they're new to the program. And that's going on in every program. Like, you know, with so much change going on in every program with the transfer portal and guys coming in and being able to help you right away, but they have experience. I think it's very hard to handicap the league at this point. I do think that obviously Longwood brings back a good chunk of their team from last year, which was a very successful year that they had. They had a really good year. They're tough. They're well coached. Griff does a really good job. They lost a couple important pieces, but I think they'll probably in all likelihood be able to have replaced those guys. I don't know who they are yet, right? Waylon, I think, is one of the names that Griff had mentioned to me as a guard that's going to replace Justin and the backup guard, Jenkins, I think. I can't remember his name.
They got too many.
But every other school probably, you know, I'd say, you know, Winthrop's obviously always been really good, and they lost a lot, but they bring back a lot. UNC Asheville brings back some really good players, and I think there's a lot of teams like ourselves, like, you know, that are going to have a lot of new pieces. You got a couple pieces that are returning, and then you got a bunch of new guys, and you got to figure out kind of how it all fits together and how this group can be successful. And I think that's happening at, you know, PC and at, you know, Upstate and at Campbell and at Redford and, you know, Gardner-Webb, you know, and then who's going to be able to do the best job of kind of piecing their pieces together, and which guys are surprises. And there will be. There will be. I can tell you that there's going to be multiple players on our team that probably start and play a good amount and are all conference level players that you don't even know who they are yet. You can read the website and find out who our new guys are, but, you know, nobody really knows. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably happening in a lot of places.
Yep. And then, I mean, just lastly, what are you looking forward with the CAA and just that future?
Well, it's obviously very exciting. The CAA has had, not the way it's currently made up, but the CAA in the last, you know, 10 years has had multiple teams go to the Final Four.
Yep.
So there's a rich tradition there. I feel like it's obviously going to be more of a challenge. Just more depth throughout the league. More teams, 14-team league, starting next year with us added. And the only ones that we'll have real familiarity with, Wilmington, who we play every year, Elon, who we've played and also scrimmage, and they're within the region. And then the two that are leaving the Big South this year to go there are ones we're familiar with. But you know, as a college basketball fan, and, you know, I was at University of Richmond for years, so it's, you know, the home of the CAA is in Richmond. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always followed that league, you know, and I grew up in Philadelphia, so the Delawares and the Drexels, those are ones that I've always, you know, as a, you're always coaching, so you're not as invested as a fan, but you always kind of keep an eye on certain leagues, and the CAA is one that I've always kind of had my eye on, and just all along, I know a lot of the coaches in the league. I think from a institutional standpoint, I think it's going to be really, really good for us as our footprint grows from basically one that looks very similar with the southern part of the Big South being similar to the southern part of the, or the, you know, the Big South is reflected as far as the footprint in the southern part of the Big Set of the CAA. But then the north is like, think about the cities. Think about the cities that you're going to. You know, Baltimore, you know, so the DMV, and you know, Philadelphia, New York, and Boston. I mean, we're talking about some of the great American cities, you know, on the East Coast. So I think that's really exciting. I think that's going to help not only our recruiting and athletics and basketball, but also just our recruiting students across the board. You know, like, I think we're going to be able to have a little bit more reach as far as maybe some kids from the Northeast that maybe didn't know anything about Campbell, but now we can, you know, I think it's going to help with enrollment quite a bit.
Yes, sir. I forgot about that little, you got a homecoming every year when you go to Drexel. It's going to be nice.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Exactly. And Delaware's not far, so
yep.
Both those are everybody I've talked to at home is real excited about those two games.
Well, that's all I got for you. I appreciate you taking these couple minutes and talking to me.
Yeah, my pleasure. Great talking to you.
Thank you. I'll talk to you later.